Hey, good evening, everybody. Hugely sad news that a friend of the channel, someone I collaborated with during the days of the Epstein coverage, Virginia Roberts, as she was known, Virginia Guffrey, as she's known now, is fighting for her life after having a near fatal car crash. And the early report is that it's a bus traveling at 70 miles an hour, which sounds extremely suspicious to me and has fomented all kinds of conspiracy theories. People saying that she's been Princess Died. Don't mess with the royal family. This is an example to other people. If you remember, she received £12 million for this case. Let me put it on the screen. Almost $15 million. Mummy paid for Randy Andy.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of rebuttals. And then, you know, Andrew went on the BBC, tried to deny it. He said he didn't sweat, didn't go out in casual clothes, all this nonsense. But for you guys who are not familiar with Virginia, when all of my Epstein content was banned from the platforms 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah.
What I did was I put a lot of it into my book, Who Killed Epstein? So I'll go over the story of Virginia for those of you who may not be familiar with all the details. So as you can see on the screen, we got the picture of Andrew emerging with his arm around Virginia Roberts. He was the UK trade ambassador, all this stuff, you know, he was supposedly doing all this stuff around the world, furthering British interests. And then this story broke out. They tried to suppress it, but eventually all hell broke loose. So the story that accompanied the picture wasn't long to follow. Virginia's story emerged in the press and subsequently in court. So she had been recruited for Jeffrey by Ghislaine Maxwell as a 16-year-old working as an attendant at Donald Trump's famous Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. According to Virginia, Maxwell had lured her with promises of training to become a professional massage therapist. However, her job interview at Epstein's Palm Beach home quickly turned from a simple massage into a carnal activity, let's just say. Virginia had been a runaway from home since the age of 13, and she had been carnally transported before, so she was extremely vulnerable. As we say in the UK, she went out of the chip pan into the frying pan. From one predator to another, she quickly fell into Epstein's orbit and went from regular carnal massages at his El Brio Way mansion in Palm Beach to jetting around the world with him as his personal masseuse. I mean, look at that photo. Look at how young she is. It was on one of these trips in March 2011 that she first met Randy Andy. So Virginia, Jeffrey, and Maxwell had flown into London and were staying at Maxwell's townhouse in Belgravia, which I doorstepped, and we had some footage from the townhouse that was banned. And we managed to get the cleaner to open the door, and we filmed the infamous stairs going up there to the room where this allegedly happened, where Maxwell informed Virginia that later that day she would meet a prince. Maxwell took her shopping for new clothes, and in the evening, Andrew arrived. Maxwell and Andrew talked for a while, according to Virginia, mostly dissing Fergie. At one point in the conversation, Andrew was invited to guess Virginia's age, and he guessed correctly that she was 17. Maxwell then joked that she would soon be getting too old for Jeffrey. The group headed to a restaurant. It was in the taxi that Maxwell told Virginia that she was expected to supply the same services to Andrew that she did for Jeffrey. She was shocked that a royal would engage in such nefarious activity and felt anxious that she would have to make the prince happy. After dinner, they went to Andrew's old haunt, Tramp Nightclub in Mayfair, the same place where he'd met his ex, Ku Stark, and Virginia recounted that she had danced with him. He was a terrible dancer and he sweated all over. This is the guy who doesn't sweat, remember? They then returned to Maxwell's house, where Virginia asked Epstein to take a photo of her with the prince, as you can see on the screen. This picture was taken by Jeffrey using Virginia's camera and showed the prints of his arm around the then 17-year-old's waist on the landing of Maxwell's house, with Ghislaine herself floating around in the background. After the pic, Virginia and Andrew retired to the bedroom to take a bath, where Virginia alleged that Andrew kissed and licked her toes and the arches of her feet, followed by going to the bedroom where they had full on, you know what. Virginia described it as the longest 10 minutes of her life. And Matthew Steeples, God bless him, he did some research on the dimensions of the house and the bathtub, etc., further exposing what happened that day. So the next day, Virginia was told that she'd done well and had made the prince happy. Jeffrey paid her $10,000 for the encounter, more than she had ever received for such services before. Unfortunately, she spent most of the money on partying and drugs to mask the increasing pain and trauma her lifestyle was causing. She next met Prince Andrew in the following spring of 2002. She was lying in her room at Jeffrey's Manhattan mansion when she received a call to come down to Jeffrey's studio. She was surprised to see Andrew grinning at her from the couch. She alleged that Maxwell took her by the hand and led her over to sit on the prince's lap. Andrew had a spitting image puppet of himself, which Glenn had given him as a present. He allegedly used the puppet to grope Virginia's upper glands, let's say, and did the same to Johanna Schoberg, another Epstein beep slave who was also present. Virginia took Andrew to what she called the dungeon, Epstein's massage area. There, she proceeded about her normal massage routine, starting with the feet and massaging up the legs. The prince flipped over before she had even made it to his calves, and the massage allegedly turned into oral. The third time she had beep with Andrew was when she testified, was on his island, Little St. James, in an alleged orgy in which eight other girls took part. Oh, thank you, Claire, for the super chat. All of whom looked underage and were from Eastern Europe or Russia, speaking little or no English. If you remember, we did a lot of research, also got banned on Jean-Luc Brunel, who was the second most important procurer for Jeffrey. Jeffrey boasted he slept with over 1,000 of his East European girls that came through the Jean-Luc Brunel pipeline, including 12-year-old triplets, and boasted how good the oral was for them. Jean-Luc Brunel allegedly gave Jeffrey these 12-year-old triplets as a birthday gift. So Virginia recounted how Jeffrey joked with Epstein. Jeffrey and Epstein and Prince Andrew joked about the girls' lack of English, saying they were the easiest kind of girls to get on with. And, you know, the easiest kind of girl to keep their mouth shut. That's what they meant. Virginia eventually escaped the clutches of Epstein after he sent her to Thailand for a six-month massage therapy course. This is where, of course, she met her husband. And that's run into some bad luck as well, but we'll get to that. The predator had early told Virginia that he wanted her to have his baby, the New Mexico baby farm research that we did. Some of you guys may remember those videos. The shocked 18-year-old had prevaricated, saying she wanted to get the massage qualifications he had promised her first before committing to the pregnancy. While in Thailand, she met Robert Guffrey, an Australian backpacker, and the two quickly fell in love. Virginia returned to Australia with Robert after a shotgun marriage in Thailand and went on to have a family of three kids. She wanted to forget Jeffrey forever, but with his first Florida conviction and subsequent private lawsuits, she found herself dragged back into the case and began sharing a story with the press in the US courts. So with Virginia's allegations, Prince Andrew's reputation sunk to an all-time low, yet still the storm might have blown over if it hadn't been for Jeffrey's arrest in July 2019 and his subsequent charges of transporting minors for beep. All the stories about Andrew and Virginia resurfaced in the press, along with fresh allegations. Documents appeared showing that Johanna Schoberg had also accused Andrew of S-anger in New York with a spitting image puppet, thus corroborating Virginia's story. As we have seen, the mounting pressure led to Andrew's fateful and disastrous and laughable decision to appear on the BBC Newsnight interview. Following the car crash interview, organizations associated with Andrew began pulling their backing, including KPMG, AON, Standard Chartered, Adweek, AstraZeneca, Barclays, Royal Philharmonic, National Ballet, Yorkshire Ambulance, and on and on and on and on the list goes. As Andrew increasingly became a pariah, the inevitable happened. Within 4 days of the interview, he stepped down from all royal duties, saying, "The circumstances relating to my former association with Jeffrey have become a major disruption to my family's work and the valuable work going on in the many organizations and charities that I am proud to support." But worse was to come. New allegations surfaced about Andrew's predilections and his ties to Jeffrey. A former friend of Maxwell told the Daily Beast that she'd been invited by Glenn to a party at his private apartment in Buckingham Palace. And on and on and on and on it goes. But I want to keep this about Virginia. And now that I've given you the background, you know, Virginia had a really sad upbringing. And Jeffrey was basically preying on girls in these South Florida schools. He had a pyramid scheme whereby he would get them to come and do these massages. And if they would, if he could get them, manipulate them into it becoming a carnal act, he would give them so much $100 at the end of it and have them come back. If they would refuse to do the carnal act, he would try and hire them as recruiters at these schools. And he was so brazen, he was sending flowers and gifts to the girls in these schools that he was recruiting for this pyramid scheme of underage coming to his house, doing these massages. Glenn would be the first one to meet them. She would try and put them at ease with her feminine energy, take them to the massage room. She would assist. And then the manipulation from it just being a regular massage over to an illegal carnal act with a minor. And this thing just went on and on and on to whereby they indoctrinated so many underage girls into this. And as you know, there was just tons of huge names on this list that we're being told, you know, is supposed to be coming out, but never seems to come out. And if you trace back, you know, the origin of the honey trap, the difference between the Diddy case and Virginia's case, we go back to it's been a honey trap leading to hugely powerful political figures, presidential crime family dynasties, intelligence agencies such as the CIA and the Mossad. And hence, you know, no matter how good Pam Bondi's intentions may seem to be, nothing has been forthcoming yet, really, to tell us about the true clients. You know, this is one of the biggest human transportation cases in the world, and only one person got arrested and survived. Jeffrey, the main person who got arrested, got offed. And then Jean-Luc Brunel, same thing happened to Jean-Luc Brunel, the second most prolific recruiter of the girls. He got offed as well in a French prison. Exactly the same thing. He got the old hyoid fracture. You know, it's more indicative of homicide than someone trying to unalive themselves. So what's happened now, folks, is if you've seen this news today or if you're just tuning in, Virginia has been hit. She was in a car hit by a bus flying along at 70 miles an hour, which is causing all kinds of theories online. People are saying that she's been Princess Diana'd. Don't mess with the royal family. This is an example. And we're trying to get Ryan Dawson on tomorrow morning, and we're hoping to get Lionel on later on tonight. In 35 minutes, I've got a guy who's an ex-Royal Marine who got put in prison for a Facebook post. So stay tuned for that one. So anyway, Sky Roberts is Virginia's dad, And Virginia has said that she's got 4 days to live. She wants to see her kids for the final time. She's estranged from her husband now. They did get a $2 million property together, I am assuming from the Prince Andrew settlement. And now her dad has said he's sick to his stomach. He'll do anything to be able to fly from his home in Florida to be by her side following the horrific car crash. I feel like crying because I love my daughter more than life. It was in an Instagram post that Virginia announced she'd been given 4 days to live after this bus plowed into her car, leaving her with kidney renal failure. Wow. The crash unfolded a couple of days ago in Australia. The dad has not spoken to her since the crash. Her brother has been in regular contact with her over the past couple of days and has been kept updated on her condition. He said she's in a really bad shape. She's very depressed. There's everything else she's been going through with the divorce and not being able to see her kids. Robert said that his son is trying to get her spirits up so she doesn't just give up. I'm hoping she can hang on. She's only 41. She's got a lot of life to live. She's got a lot of things left to do. She's helping people and helping other girls. There's nothing I can do from here. He said, I'm on social security, so I can't fly out. I'd love to be by her side and support her. That's a dad in Florida. So what she actually wrote on Insta, this year has been the worst start to a new year, but I won't bore anyone with the details, but I think it's important to note that when a school bus driver comes at you driving 110 kilometers, as we were slowing for a turn, that no matter what your car is made of, it might as well be a tin can. I've gone into kidney renal failure. They've given me 4 days to live, transferring me to a specialist hospital in urology. I'm ready to go, just not until I see my babies one last time. But you know what they say about wishes? Beep in one hand and wish in the other. And I guarantee it's still going to be beep at the end of the day. Thank you for being the wonderful people of the world and for being a great part of my life. God bless you all. XX Virginia. And as well as begging his daughter not to give up, the dad said he's making a public plea for her to get a second medical opinion. She needs to get a second medical opinion, he said. When someone tells you you're going to die in 4 days, you don't want to hear from just that person. You need to get a second opinion. You need a third opinion. I agree with him wholeheartedly on that. People can program themselves to die when they hear these things. Robert said he used to be really close with his daughter, but the relationship had become strained in recent years. He only has good memories. I remember all the great times I've had with her here, her growing up and putting her in horse shows and all the fun things we used to do. All you can do when someone is a bad way is think of the good times. You don't want to think of the bad times. He said that his daughter also became recently estranged from the kids. She's in the middle of a messy divorce with a husband of 2 decades, Robert. And that's the Robert that she met when she was in Thailand. And that's the guy who helped her escape from the clutches of Epstein. And Maxwell was on a case trying to get her back. It was horrific. What she went through, she deserved to get that settlement. But good grief, the swings in this woman's life, it's insane. Robert says he hopes that her wish to be able to see her kids comes true. She's lived in Australia since December 2020 and was living there with her husband and the 3 kids. She shared a shocking image of herself lying in hospital covered in bruises. And we're going to start to take some calls, folks. I've not done a show where we've had call-ins. Ron's here right now. I'm going to get on a serious monologue because this is huge news for all Epstein researchers. But I would like it if anybody wants to call in and speak to me. We piloted this last night, and Ron will explain to you while I pause for breath. Have a swig. Ron, what can you, how you can call in if you want to discuss this, folks?
Yeah. So there's a Discord server that's been set up. If you follow the link that is in the description, the mods will be posting it for you. When you join the server on the left-hand side, under where it says the welcome room, you'll see call-in streams, and there's a room in there called the waiting room. If you go in there and just hang out in there, and then I'll announce on the show who I'm pulling in, and I'll pull you into the live room, and we can do that. So we've got a few people waiting, so I'm going to grab 11 and 1 equals 12. Are you there? 11 plus 1 equals 12? Oh, wait, hang on. It might help if I turn my speakers on. There we go. And then turn this off. How are we doing? Are you there, 11 plus 1 equals 12? How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Well, welcome to the Sean Atwood channel. You're live with Sean. What's your views on this? Have you got a question you'd like to throw out? And how are you doing?
I'm upset. And I'm just trying to figure out this Concord thing. And I haven't followed what you and Sean were saying. I just listened to Kirby this afternoon. And I'm upset. And I think it's not an accident.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for calling in. You're actually my first ever call in on the show. Really appreciate that. And viewers, if you could put a one in the chat, if you agree with our caller in that this is a suspicious accident, or put a two in the chat if you think it's just a normal accident. And we will see what the viewers think. And I think it's hugely suspicious. I've been speaking to Ryan Dawson today about it. He's been, you know, researching Jeffrey longer than anyone that I know, and I'm hoping to get him on tomorrow morning to discuss this further. Why would a bus be going 70 miles per hour? I'm thinking.
Yeah, and why doesn't any journalist call the hospital for information or get an expert in? Because kidney failure, can't you have a kidney transplant?
Yeah, I think with the, there was a few people at the side chat that had commented on maybe that are other injuries maybe preventing surgery from happening. Okay. But obviously, this is all speculation, I might add. It's very much, we're all just kind of jumping to conclusions because, I mean, Sean, when was the last time you heard an announcement of you have 4 days to live? I mean, it seems like an odd time frame. If you see what I mean. I mean, it really, really does. And I agree with her dad. I mean, if you get told you've got 4 days to leave, I'd be having multiple opinions from multiple doctors, you know, because you just don't know what someone's missed, right?
So, you know, a vehicle that size traveling at that speed into a car, you shouldn't have any days to live. If this was a setup, it was set up to wipe her out on the spot. And she is so brave and strong that she's still going. And it says here that kidney failure, also known as end-stage renal disease, is fatal if left untreated. But as you pointed out, with treatments like dialysis or a kidney transplant, individuals can live longer and maintain a good quality of life. So it shouldn't be fateful unless they're not going to treat her. They're just going to let sit there and unalive her.
Right? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's why I hope that the journalist will call the hospitals to get some pressure on the hospital to come out with statements.
I mean, how does that work, Sean? I mean, are hospitals allowed to make statements like that? Is it not medical, like patient care privilege sort of thing? Is it not like that?
Yeah, so you've got huge international public interest in this story. So you're going to have, you know, whatever channels are available under the local laws of that country, the journalists will be pursuing them so that, you know, they can get that out as soon as possible, unless they're stonewalled. But you are quite right, Ron. You know, confidentiality for the medical patient will be something that would be a paramount consideration by the team there as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, 11 plus 1 equals 12. Thanks for joining. I'm going to put you back in the waiting room and I'm going to grab Uber Fuber and drag you in here, my G. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll speak to you again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uber, are you there?
I am, mate.
How are we doing? Welcome. You've left. Hang on a second. You there, Uber?
I am.
Oh, no. And you've left again. I don't know why this keeps kicking you out of here, dude.
It's not that easy to get a kidney transplant, is it?
No, hang on. No.
Let me come out.
Can you? Are you? He just keeps coming out. That's fine. I'm going to grab Kaza Bear just now because she is waiting patiently. How are we doing, Kaz?
Yeah, get Kaza in there.
Are you there, Kez?
I am here.
Well, you're live on the Sean Atwood channel. What are your opinions on this case, what's been going on here, Kez? What do you think?
Very suspicious.
What parts of it have made you the most suspicious, Kaza?
Our black eye, the Epstein files, the release of the files, lots of stuff.
You think it's a warning shot? It's a warning shot to people?
Yeah.
Because of the timing of the Epstein files.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being funny. There's been a lot of talk from the new president's office about the Epstein list. I mean, could this not be also seen as a warning to everyone that's currently making threats about lists and exposing people and all the rest of it? You know, do you think it entirely ties back to the royals? Or do you think there could be
other individuals? Well, I think it's all tied. Not just the royals, like the whole lot, Hollywood, everything. I just think it's all dodgy, all connected and dodgy.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel like that. I'm just throwing up this is all allegedly as well, just so you know, we're just speculating on possibilities of what could have happened here, but I think the one thing that most people are reacting to, Sean, is the fact that when have you ever seen a bus going 70 miles an hour, especially what was reported on to be a school bus, I believe.
A school bus, yeah.
Definitely. I've never heard of a school bus going that kind of a speed. That's insane. Uh-huh. I think what Kaz's hits it on the head. You know, people say, has X ordered the assassination of Y? It's never that simple. There is a complex network of vested powerful interests, and when you upset that network, there's a tipping point whereby the price is going to have to be paid. They're going to make some scheme up to unalive you once those vested interests, once it's reached that. And you know that she may have been someone who they thought, right, well, she's come out and caused all this damage, and we've had to pay this money, and it's raw. It would be pretty obvious if something happened to her right now, while it's all in the news, back when it was really in the news, it would have been too suspicious. But, you know, they sometimes can get you years and years and years later. These things can catch up with you because they don't want to let you get away with these things for the rest of your life.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's like, even Diddy can be tied into this. It's a whole big thing.
It's true.
There's just so many things. Like, too many people don't believe the news these days. It's propaganda. And most folk are doing their own investigations. They're getting their news online for the likes of ourselves. It's more believable. You can't believe that box in the corner.
That's true.
How anyone can believe the news? You know, the news that 20 years ago was telling us Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. That's they're now telling us Iran's got weapons of mass destruction. They think we've forgotten,
right?
We'll just use the same line. It was 20 years ago. They've forgotten. These people are so condescending. They think that we're just so thick. We're going to buy into their BS and believe their mainstream garbage. When, you know, the media is so controlled by the same vested interests that are linked into the Epstein network.
Yep, it's actually quite laughable at how stupid they actually think that we all are.
Yeah.
You know, it's insulting.
Yeah, it's true. So, it really is.
It's ridiculous. Well, but get somebody else on now, Gonny. I didn't like him on the first place.
Thank you for being my second call in ever, Kaza.
You're very welcome, boss man. Anytime. I don't really mean that, but anytime.
See you soon, Kaz. All right, so we're going to bring in Agent Orange next, and Agent Orange, how you doing, my man? How are you? Give him just a second here.
Yeah, a lot of people asking about the specifics of the accident. We don't have...
How we doing, Agent Orange? Welcome to the Sean Atwood Show. You're live with myself and Sean. Have you got a question you want to throw at us? And how are you doing today, my friend?
No, I just wanted to let bring it out that if the bus company was shady, it'll come out because of the actual reports that the Department of Transportation can provide. So then you can start actually doubting if it was a conspiracy or not. But they'll show the actual records from the actual company if they had a bad track record on their actual brakes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Maybe a dash cam.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I've got a funny feeling there's going to be a lot of paperwork lost and no dash cam. I imagine that's what's going to happen.
Like the dash cam footage, the dash cam is going to be shut down just like it was shut down the night before Jeffrey was unalived.
Yeah.
In the jail, in the feds and the guards. Two guards simultaneously fell asleep, which has never happened since that jail was constructed in the 1970s. No record of two guards falling asleep simultaneously in the entire history of that jail.
Is the Australian Transportation, is that a federal actual agency?
Oh, I don't know how it's structured in Australia. Have we got any Australian viewers who can enlighten us on what kind of reporting we can expect from the Australian government and the Australian media? Will they be all over this, getting the details?
I mean, the Australian journalists are pretty good. There's been quite a lot of groundbreaking reports coming out from Australia. So hopefully and I'll tell you something, you know that Channel 7 are going to be all over this, right? Because they don't mess about. So we just got to see. It's early days, isn't it? It's now everyone's sort of scrambling for facts and, you know, peeling at labels and seeing what's peeking behind them. So it's time will tell on this one. But she doesn't seem to. Seems to be the one thing we're being told that we don't have in this case. You know what are we going to learn in 4 days?
Here's the question for Agent Orange.
Okay.
Scott, what are the chances the driver of the bus will be unalived?
Well. That depends, because of the fact that if there is criminal, if it's a criminal act, he'll go to prison. But for sure, he's already gone to the actual hospital to get his blood work taken right after the actual accident.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk proper conspiracy here, right? They wouldn't need a driver, if we're being honest. I mean, the bus would just be drone powered. You know, they would just be a big remote control freaking unalive bus. Because I mean, let's be honest.
But again, Ron, how difficult would it be for a bus to purposely hit a specific car?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most agile of vehicles. You know, they're not right. They're not known for their cornering. You know, in a straight line, no problem. But she said that she was turning. You know,
right.
Plus, as well, then I mean,
head on, you can see. You know, yeah, that could happen, but. When you're turning, though.
Yeah. Plus, as well, if it was a conspiracy, I mean, I imagine that she must have been on a route that she was taking all day, or that she took all the time. She must be doing her regular routine, because somebody's going to notice if they're being tailed by a school bus all day, and then suddenly it starts gunning up to them. Do you see what I mean? So, there's so many questions. There really is.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, with the kidney thing, I have lost a few people who are on the transplant list. One of my friends in Arizona, he crashed a plane in Indonesia and got a blood transfusion and got it. And he was so advanced because he was incarcerated and they wouldn't treat him. And when he got out, he used to crack jokes about going to China and getting a liver on the black market and stuff like that. But sadly, that was just his dark sense of humor, because he died for want of a liver that matched him. It's not easy to get a liver. If that's the situation she's in right now and she's got 4 days, people can be on these waiting lists for livers for years and not even get them. I mean, she'd be high priority right now, but yeah.
In the 20 year, I've been in the healthcare business for over 20 years. I've never heard of a 4 day prognosis. I've never heard of that.
It's odd. It's really odd.
It is really odd. It's almost as if they're wishing her to not be around within 4 days.
I mean, what a thing to say to someone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, Princess Diana didn't go right away, did she? And there's a theory about the delays and the ambulance and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
Especially because of her age, she could actually be a donor. So why would they even just keep her in a coma in order for her to be to donate organs instead of just in 4 days? That's it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy one. Well, look, Agent Orange, thank you very much for coming and joining us, my G. If there's anything else you want to throw at us before I pull someone else in, let us know. And if anyone who's watching wants to come and join us, click the link, join the Discord, join the waiting room, and we'll pull you in. And thanks very much, Agent Orange.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, brother. Okay, 1 second. I'm going to grab our next caller, who is going to be Emma. Excuse me. How are we doing, Emma? How are you?
Oh, hi. Oh, my God, this is the star. Hello. I didn't expect you to be on here.
You're my fourth ever call-in. Thank you.
Oh, you've put me on.
Yeah, you're on the Sean Atwood Show, Emma. How are you? You're live.
We are live.
Hello.
What's your take on this this story and this report?
I think it's a hit because they've been trying to expose Prince Andrew again. If you watch, you know, all the other the role stuff.
Okay.
So
yeah, you just think it's the royals going full circle with this to tie off loose ends.
I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, so I suspect that it's the royal family and members of the government that have put a hit on her. I'm sorry, but it's the very, very top, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter are comparing it to Princess Diana.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got eerie whispers of that.
100%. As you would say, Ron, it's very, very fishy.
It's very fishy. It's all fishy. The whole case from the start of the island has been fishy. Like, what's going on with the list? What's going on with that woman in jail? Like, what is going on with this, Sean?
Here's an interesting tweet. Yep. There was never a bus crash. If there was, it would be headline news in Perth, where Virginia lives, with questions asked about why a bus driver was speeding. News teams would be interviewing passengers. There'll be crash scene video and photos. Yet there is nothing.
Someone was saying it was in England, and you're saying it was in America. Which one is it?
Australia.
Oh, Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what happened in Australia, didn't you?
I don't know.
Was it Australia or Africa with the Queen?
I don't know.
Oh, it's going off a subject.
That's all right. Anything else you want to throw at us, Emma, on this? I mean, I think everyone sort of collectively are agreeing with the fishiness and with what Sean's just said there with that tweet, where there's nothing. It is just one headline, one story, no evidence. We've got to take this at face value. Do you think that that's just
been a media cover up?
I mean, here's the thing. It's so hard to do. If an event actually took place, right, and it was public, it's really hard to do a media shutdown. You know, even when all of that madness kicked off at the LA Mall, there were still bits of footage that got out of this or that. And to have nothing, no ring cams, no people, you know, taking selfies, no nothing, no CCTV, no, you know, ATM machines where you take out the cash that have got cameras. Nothing, nothing. It just seems really impossible.
We're just going to have to wait and see what transpires in the next couple of days.
Yeah,
but usually, I mean, if these people, these government officials can shut down networks in a flash.
Yeah.
So wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going to take place.
Well, we just need to stay tuned. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for
thank
being
you.
Here.
Yes,
thanks, Emma.
I just got a message from Prosecutor Lionel.
Yeah.
And Prosecutor Lionel, ex-prosecutor, is confirmed that he's going to come on at 10:30 p.m. UK.
Okay.
So we've got a good 3 hours of content ahead of us. In 10 minutes, we've got the ex-Royal Marine coming on who was arrested for a Facebook post. He went to prison. And then we've got Lionel coming on after him at 10:30.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night of content.
I'm just sending Lionel the link now. There we go.
Now, let me just get some more. Let me see if we can get some more through some more of our wonderful callers and community. Bailey, I'm going to drag you in next. How are we doing, Bailey? Are you there?
Hello?
Yep, that's you, Bailey. You're live on the Sean Atwood channel with Ron and Sean. How are you?
No!
Why?
What's happening?
What's happening?
What's happening?
I'm eating a Rogan Josh and my mouth's melting just now. So. Is that Sean's cheeky wee laugh in the background there?
That is, yeah, it's good. That was brilliant. I'm eating a Rogan Josh, my mouth's pure melting.
You're melting.
So what's your take on this, Bailey? What are you thinking?
On what?
I
was talking to somebody in the chat about something totally different, so this is a spot check. What's happening?
Well, we're doing a call-in. You're in the waiting room to be dragged in to ask a question about the topic. There's 1,300 people across all platforms.
I'm so sorry. I just seen all the.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Come in.
Just give us a quick rundown on how good your Rogan Josh is, and then we'll pop you back in the waiting room, and we'll see how you do.
Very nippy. My hubby's great at making it at home, so but he puts extra spice on it. So nah.
It's good. Well, listen, you enjoy, Bailey, and thanks for joining us anyway. And I'll pop you back in here. Pam, our wonderful Pam, how are you?
Oh, sugar.
How are we doing, Pam? You're live on the Sean Atwood Show with Ron and Sean. How are you? Sean and Ron, even, I should say. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
What's your take on this whole Virginia case?
Well, the way I see it, it just seems like a bit dodgy. Like everybody is saying, that the bus was going so fast, and in order for that, I mean, I don't know how the crash, I don't know if the crash was from behind or the side or what, but for the bus to have like hit her so badly, I don't know. It just seems really like, I think it has most probably something to do with the royal family.
Yeah, I think everyone's collectively really side-eyeing hard over at the royals right now.
You know? Can I just say though, also Ron, it's like because this, because her and her sister were like two of the first kind of like Epstein like victims, as you say, and they were talking about it for quite a few years before it all happened, but then obviously they spoke to a lady and she kind of did she did like a spread about Epstein.
Okay.
And her name, I can't pronounce her name. Virginia. And I just think that ever since then, because she's been quite vocal about it, and obviously I think that helped a lot of other women to like kind of join them. I just think that, definitely. I think maybe they might have wanted her not to say anything else. Because, you know, with all the trafficking and everything that's going on at the moment, there is that possibility that maybe she would have said something more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not even that she said anything more, but she could have certainly written a lot of things down. And, at whatever point those things came to life, I think she was a very big loose end.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, because she lives in Australia, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And the actual accident happened in London, was it?
Well, this is what we're getting mixed reports here. Sean, do we know exactly where this took place?
And then also the bus was supposed to be empty. Now that is just like a big, massive red flag. If the bus was empty and it was going like 70 miles an hour.
Just,
you know, it's almost like the bus was just going for her.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, the conspiracy is wild.
Yeah,
it really, really is.
And to be, sorry.
That's okay.
And to be fair, just also this whole, if like, I say the royal family are linked, but then at the same time. With her being in hospital and like they don't know what's going to happen, this is just going to bring the whole thing back into the news again. Which really you'd think that's something that the royal family would avoid.
Well, let me ask you this, right? We're talking a lot about the royal family. Sean, do you think the timing of this and all the talk about the Epstein list and, oh, we're going to release this and, oh, we're going to release that. Do you think that this could be more geared towards a warning to from the political side, if that makes sense? Do you think it could be something around that?
Absolutely. It's not like she's just got that 12 million and shut up. She's been very active on Twitter. You know, I had a lot of conversations with her on Twitter when it was all originally coming about. But if you've looked on her Twitter feed, it's at VRS Virginia is the handle. As recently as this month, she has been campaigning for the release of the Epstein files. So she did a tweet on March 1st saying, Tara, I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude for your courageous words regarding the release of phase one of the Epstein files. Your commitment to shining a light on these issues is not just vital for me, but for every victim of human transportation who's been silenced for too long. The disappointment we feel as victims is profound in what is supposed to be a democratic society. Where are our rights to freedom of information in MAGA America? It's disheartening to witness what feels like a dog and pony show turned political stunt. True democracy should embody freedom, yet we continue to find ourselves trapped in a system that overlooks our struggles until it's convenient for those in power. As taxpaying citizens, we have earned the right to trust our elected representatives. It raises uncomfortable questions. Does justice only apply when it suits certain agendas? I sincerely hope that phase two of the Epstein files will not follow the same path as its predecessor, but instead provide transparency and honesty about the evidence that has caused so much suffering. Having witnessed blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the bottom line is there. She's still an activist. She's still campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got a lot of people following what she says. She's got 109,000 followers on X. So she's still a threat to the establishment. Now we've got 2 minutes left, Ron, before I've got to go over to next guest. So we're gonna have to start to wrap this one up.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for calling in. I'll just check the other studio to see.
No problem.
Cheers, Pam.
Thank you. Yeah.
So first, just give me 30 seconds out. What do you guys think in the side chat? Put one in the side chat if you like the call-in. Make sure you guys come and join the Discord. We'll be doing these more often. And Sean, what did you think of that? I mean, it seems to work pretty well, right?
I love it, man. It flows really smoothly. Probably a credit to your moderation skills.
That's the mod team. Well, that's the mod team. The mod team keep us all safe.
Putting someone's question on the screen is one thing. But when you are actually speaking to someone, it just makes it all the more
a real conversation, right?
It's just a nicer feeling, isn't it, when you're speaking directly to someone instead of just reading text. I think it brings more human energy and interaction to the show, and I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
So people in the chat, if you're enjoying the call-in feature that we've just started, put a one in the chat if you want us to continue it. Put a two in the chat if you despise the call-in feature and it's driving you up the bloody wall.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you don't like it, Sean might listen to you, but I'll definitely still be implicating it at some point because it's too good, man. It's great for topical discussions. It's great for breaking stories. It's great for the community. You know, it gets people engaging with it. And like you say, putting up the comments on the screen is great, but just to actually have that real conversation, it's going to be next level. It's going to be next level, man. I'm really looking forward to see how we develop it all and build on it all.
Right,
so is Beverly, by the way. She is so excited.
What I'm going to do, Ron, is I am going to start the other stream. Yep. I'll let you say your goodbyes for one minute or so to everyone.
Yep.
But stay tuned, folks. When Ron finishes this one, it will transfer you over to our friend Jamie, who's gone into prison for a Facebook post. And he was a Royal Marine, God damn it. So stay tuned. And then we've got Lionel, ex-prosecutor, coming in 90 minutes, continuing this story about Virginia. So thanks for tuning in for this one. And thank you, Ron, for your brilliant moderation.
You're very, very well. The mod team of the mod team. Big shout out to the mod team for all that you guys do. Let's just pop this over here. Beautiful. So we're just going to stay live for another couple of minutes. Sean, like I say, he's going to go and start up his live stream. And I'm really, really excited to expand on this. If you didn't get to ask a question tonight, I do apologize. but stay tuned, because as we sort of streamline this, and it be, you know, we get, I mean, at least one or two shows a day, I would think, at least, where we've got to be running this. So I'm excited. I know Sean is too. I know Jen will be too. So and like I say, come and join the community. It's a public server, so when you come and join the Discord, maybe pick an alias and things like this so that you've got a little bit of anonymity, because like I say, it is a public server. And come and enjoy. The moderating team is good, the community is good, it's exciting. So make sure you come and join us. Let me just check where we are with the boss man. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, no, yes, it is. Yes, it is live. Okay, hang on. Ron's now losing his mind. Hang on. Okay. And yeah, right. Nice one. Thank you, everyone, for being here. You guys are awesome. Big shout out to Jane. It was great working with you this morning. Great working with the boss man tonight. Thank you very much to the mods and the community, to everyone who came and gave up their time this evening. And catch us all in the next one. My G's. Peace.